So if you were listening to this podcast last week and wondered what the new replacement word for disability is, you will have found out on our blog that it is, drumroll, human variation.
Who'd come up with that?
Hello, everybody. This is Inside Out. Got Johnny Cassidy with me.
How you doing?
And Emma Tracy, who's in Edinburgh.
Hello.
Human variation, then. What do we think? Good word?
Human variation to me sounds like there's been people in a committee that have been paid thousands of pounds to rebrand something that never needed rebranding at all. Human variation is god awful, if you ask me.
It also sounds like it's referring to, you know, those human-y robots.
It is. I thought about Blade Runner and replicants and.
Well, isn't there? Aren't there these little humans who kind of robots that kind of act like humans and look like humans? Is the show called Humans actually?
I'm trying to fall.
But that's
yeah.
What it made me think of.
No, is that not being human? Are they not werewolves and everything? Is that a different thing?
That's a different
Whoa,
thing.
I think that's a bit different.
But we had an email flooded in.
One email flooded in
from Claire Norman, who was listening to the podcast last week, and she's interested. Hello, Claire. Thank you for emailing. Claire has a cleft palate, and she was very interested in what we were talking about. And she said the word for me is simply ugly.
That's quite tragic, really.
She doesn't fall into any category. She says
that's quite sad.
It's very sad, and it's not the first time I've heard that from a disabled person either. Often young people who speak to us will comment on how they look and say it in very negative terms. Didn't we have someone on a very early podcast, Julia? We asked about being bullied and she talked about herself as being ugly and about people saying she was ugly. Ugly and disability can unfortunately often be put in the same sentence.
But I don't know if this was the conversation that Rebecca, who wrote the article about this, was trying to have. We had so many emails. Hear me rustle my braille paper. I read very slowly. Very slowly, Braille. So bear with me. My favourite tweet, was the one that said, when talking about coming up with a different word, I think it's time we had a euphemism for euphemism. That's what Jan emailed in and said that. Comments? Stop reinventing the wheel, said Robert, who tweeted in. The change should be in humans, not in the dictionary, says Shamira.
That's what I like, that.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah? Labels don't have to define us, says Naomi.
Yeah.
PC gone mad. I mean, that was, we were bound, you know, that was always bound to happen.
Little Christmas gone mad. A lot of times when we're doing these podcasts, or the times that I've been doing them anyway, we talk about this and it comes back around to labelling and what people describe themselves as, people, what way they want to be described. And it's reinventing the wheel. I understand that human variants, replicants, disabled, not able, differently abled, unabled, bio-abled, whatever.
Not yet disabled.
Yeah.
Temporarily able-bodied.
Broken.
Yeah.
So the other story that we were going to talk about in the podcast is something that's been going around the web in the last 24 hours or so, which is fascinating. Fascinating. The story of Jewel Shooping from North Carolina, who has BIID, which is, Emma?
Oh, gosh, I hope I get the words in the right order. Body Integrity Identity Disorder.
Yeah, an unbelievable story of how 9 years ago she blinded herself because she wanted to be blind. She felt that she would be more comfortable if she was blind. And it's something, you know, we've been talking about this before coming on air, and it's an absolutely astonishing story. She found a psychologist who spoke with her. This psychologist in the end helped her using some detergent to blind herself, and she was blind within half an hour, and then they went to the hospital.
There's a couple of, you know, I agree with you, Damon, it's a fascinating story for all sorts of reasons, but one of the most worrying things is that there is a psychologist that's practicing medicine that would be willing to put drain cleaner in somebody's eye. You know, either they're a snake oil merchant that's not worth, you know, the qualifications that they've got, or after talking to her, found it to be a really very, very real issue. It might be controversial, but one of the areas that I find really fascinating about the whole area of this woman in North Carolina taking away her eyesight is that when people read that, and I shared it today in the office downstairs from here, I shared it with other people, and they were like, you know, big intake of breath, you know, that is a crazy story. Why? What? How? Why would people do that? But then it got me thinking about the whole idea of transgender. And, well, this is the question, you know, this is the way I think about it, is that in years gone by, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you certainly my parents, grandparents would, you know, have been shocked about people wanting to change from a man to a woman and wouldn't have understood that somebody could be born into the wrong body. But now we're socially accepting of that. And I'm just wondering if this thing with the woman taking her own eyesight is exactly the same thing. Is it just the fact that we haven't been socially conditioned into accepting it that we're so shocked by it?
I think people in the LGBT community might say, well, there's a big difference between having an operation that will change your gender as opposed to becoming disabled in some way. We're not saying, you know, if you're moving from male to female, we're not saying female is lesser or is worse than being a man, you know, whereas if you're actively deciding to disable yourself, give yourself less opportunities, less ability to be able to live.
But the thing is, that is it the fact that she has taken away something, in this instance it's her eyesight, but she has said in the interviews that she's happier. So by taking something away is giving her something. She has said that she was always felt that she should have been born blind. So it's exactly the same issue, I think.
But it's this taking away of an ability.
But it is taking away something else if you're transitioning, you say, from a man to a woman, you some might say. But
So is it lesser being blind than being sighted? Like, there are plenty of blind people in the world who would say absolutely not.
Exactly.
And certainly, is it worse being deaf and being hearing? I mean, that's a conversation as well. You know, many, many, many people think that it's actually better being deaf than being hearing.
Yeah. And the point that, you know, we all see it as taking away something, but it's not listening to what she is saying about it actually hasn't taken away something to her. It's given her something, which is her happiness.
And what you're saying, Damon, about the taking away, you know, opportunity and ease of living and stuff like that, in the early days of people having operations, transgender people, you know, the early days of that, it would have been taking away various social things for them and various opportunities and that kind of thing. So I can see your point. I don't know if I agree with your point, Johnny, but I can absolutely follow that. It has a lot of similarities.
And we talk a lot, and we have talked about, I have talked a lot on the podcast before about biohacking, which is when you give yourself different bits, like, you know, bionic bits, so you're adding something to your body. But it should be then that the antithesis of that is to be able to take stuff away from your body.
I thought this was who I was supposed to be, said Jewel.
Yeah.
But she also says, do not, you know, word of warning, do not, if you feel this way, do not go blind the way she did it. Wait until there's a proper treatment for this kind of disorder.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what she said at the end. I mean, I can understand that because she poured draining fluid into her eye. And she talks about how painful it was and how much damage it caused to her eyes, you know. So I can see how, in hindsight, she reckons that's not the best way of going about it, you know.
And also, see, there's so many nuances to this story. And reading between the lines, as I suppose as journalists would do, or going, aha, what's going on there? She told her family that it had all been an accident, that things had happened, and then they found out what she'd done, and now they're not talking to her. So instead of trying to figure out what was going on in her mind or in her head, they just ditched her.
It's funny, isn't it? If you've brought up a child, because I know we're all parents sitting around the table talking today, if you've brought up a child and you were, you know, you felt kind of blessed when they were brought into the world and they were okay, for them to then actively choose to disable themselves in some way is something that's going to be hard for a parent to take, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Has there not been a story as well about a deaf couple who wanted their child to be made deaf because they felt that it wasn't fair, that they were part of a world that she didn't understand, and it was to somehow bring the family closer together?
That's a deaf cultural thing, isn't it? They wanted, in the same way that you might want to bring up your child in an Indian tradition, for instance, if you're an Indian family living in the UK, they wanted their child bring up in the deaf tradition, using deaf sign language and knowing all about deaf culture.
I think there was a community element to what she did too. She's a very active member of the blind community, apparently, now.
This is Jewel we're talking
about. To the story, Jewel, yes. You know, she wanted to be part of that community. And the video on the story that I watched, which shows her being, you know, walking with a cane and being with blind friends, also shows her talking to her blind friends and telling them how she, the language used is really interesting, voluntarily took her own sight, is the way they put it, which is again another really, really interesting thing. But and they all accepted her fight, they all absolutely accepted that and just said, oh, that's okay, you're a friend, you know. And I think when she was blind simming, as she calls it, so simulating being blind before she voluntarily became blind, she was actively trying to bring herself forward into that community. So there's a bit of a community element to what she did as well.
Somebody yesterday just asked me, and it's a question that comes up now and again, and you probably get it as well, Damon and Emma, like somebody had said to you, if you could get your sight back, would you? You know, like it's a no-brainer for me, of course you would. Or of course I would, to actively go out and to do it. I wonder if there's other people that do it, that cut their legs off or their arms off. Or
There are. And I mean, to a lesser extent, there are people who pretend to be disabled, like she did before she actually took the plunge. We had, again, on an earlier podcast, we had someone that was known as a deaf pretender and used to go to other cities from her own and pretend to be deaf, because that's what she wanted to do, and she wanted to be part of the deaf community.
It caused a real fuss when we had her on. We got her to do a deaf voice, you know, the voice that she uses when she goes to a different town and makes out she's deaf.
She would pretend to be deaf, yeah.
And it was quite, you know, shocking. I like the fact we have a word for it now. It's not just pretender, it's simming. This is simming. And I found a blind simming group on Yahoo. 373 members of this blind simming group at the moment. There's loads of people out
but
there.
But are some of them just siblings of blind people who do it to annoy them or you know, just to be treated the same as them?
No! That's crazy. Surely not. I should just say we're all blind sitting around the tables today as well.
Yeah, and none of my siblings did that. Can I just say that?
No, none of my sister would never have thought of doing that. And I don't think for a second she would have thought, I know, I'm going to blindfold myself so I know what Damon's going through.
The thing Johnny was saying about if you could get your sight back, would you? And Johnny says it's a no-brainer for him. It's more nuanced for me. I don't want to go down that road too much, but it is definitely more nuanced for me because I've never had sight, and getting vision would be a massive learning curve that I'm not sure that at this point in my life I'm ready to take on. Maybe when I had
it's great being able to see, I'm telling you.
Oh,
it's really good. I mean, on the one hand you have Nintendo, and on the other hand you have being able to drive a car and being able to go out anywhere that you want. There's a very famous disabled wannabe, I suppose we would call
wannabe.
Her, called Para Girl on the internet. Para Cathy. And if you go and look at her blog on blind simming, she talks about a time when she spent a whole 12 hours being blind and thought it was a lot of fun.
Oh, God, don't even start me on that.
But going back to dual shooping, she is losing an awful lot of those important tools and ways of moving through life with opportunities and ease. They're all gone.
But if she's happy.
Mm. And she seems to be. She does, and she fits into a blind community, doesn't she now?
There's so much more to it. It was an article that was sensationally written. I would really, really like to get into it a lot deeper. The psychology of somebody that wants to do something like that, where it has come from, their background, what has happened to them that wants them to be like that. Is there issues there? Is it something that is really a real, not a mental disorder, but you know, it's something that's wired into somebody's mind that they want to do something like that. What has caused her to go there? You know, I think there's an awful lot more than just the fact that, you know, oh my Lord, there's this woman who's blinded herself to fit into some sort of normal that she has always seen herself as.
But psychologically, you wonder if I don't know, she or other people are thinking, well, if I become blind or disabled in some way, that's kind of like taking the focus of me. I've been let off the hook a little bit in life.
You see, but it goes totally the opposite, I'd say, in my understanding or the way that I see things every day. You know, there's a lot more focus on you. You know, when I'm walking up the street, I know that people are watching to see if I bang into things, because the minute I'm anywhere next or near banging into something, there's groups of hands going, wah, wah, wah. You know, the focus is definitely there.
I wonder how she felt when she walked into her first lamppost. Whether, you know, whether it was kind of a thing she felt, oh, well, there you go, there's another blind thing ticked off my list. Yeah. Or whether she felt,
fists,
oh, gosh,
in the air going,
have
woo!
I done the right thing, you know?
We'll have to come back to this. We will do. So thanks ever so much, Johnny and Emma, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This
Thank
week.
Thank you very, very much.
Next week on this particular feed. God, it sounds so modern, doesn't it? Next week on this feed, we have the regular big hour-long monthly talk show with Simon Mincy and Kate Monaghan. So get listening to that. It's all about siblings. Really interesting. Really
Lovely.
Interesting. Thank you again, everybody. Email ouch at bbc.co.uk. Tweet at bbcouch. Goodbye.